balance of pro- and anti-inflammatory foods. In addition to increasing our consumption of anti-inflammatory foods, we need to pay attention to which foods are producing inflammation in the first place. The typical Western diet is loaded with pro-inflammatory foods, and these foods are actually speeding up brain aging. The most age-accelerating foods a person can eat tend to be those that are highly acidic. But maybe not in the way you might imagine. It's actually those foods loaded with refined sugars, refined grains, highly processed products such as margarine and soft spreads, and even alcohol that deliver the strongest acidic punch. Though processed foods are convenient, more often than not, convenience means large amounts of hidden trans fats, sodium, and nutritionally empty sugars, which are among the most dangerous ingredients you can ingest. Even seemingly harmless foods, like fortified cereals and breads, are actually masking overprocessed and mass-marketed products. While it is true that these foods contain some added vitamins and minerals, they are present only in their most synthetic forms, which means that their nutrients are destined to be poorly absorbed, if at all. Further, these products harbor excess hidden chemical fillers within their ingredients, including those preservatives and emulsifiers that are shown to damage heart, brain, and gut health alike. Animal products like meat and high-fat dairy are also pro-inflammatory in nature, especially when fried in unhealthy oils. Nonetheless, if you limit your consumption to the appropriate portions and eat them sparingly and from safe sources, those foods are better for you than any processed food could ever be. Help your DNA help you. Many nutrients have a strong effect on our genes. While some make us stronger, some weaken us instead. Fresh organic produce, whole grains, wild-caught fish, and smaller amounts of pastured meats and eggs, along with natural sweeteners like fruit, honey, and maple syrup, are all ingredients to which our ancient DNA naturally responds positively. These same foods, especially the plant-based ones, have been linked to nothing less than brain rejuvenation. Besides reduced inflammation, improved metabolic balance, improved insulin sensitivity, and a stronger immune system. On the other hand, pro-inflammatory, processed, and refined foods do quite the opposite, providing us with multiple side effects even at our DNA level. These same foods also impact your microbiome. A diet that regularly includes prebiotic and probiotic foods will turn your microbiome into a champ, while one full of processed foods and fatty meat will achieve the opposite result. Too many people don't eat nearly enough fiber, nor do they think about consuming pre- and probiotics in their foods. The time has come to get a better feel for all the available options. Next time you go grocery shopping, and especially if you're suffering from digestive issues such as cramping, bloating, constipation, or diarrhea, bring the list I'll soon share with you for some healthy choices. Onions, asparagus, artichokes, and garlic are powerhouses when it comes to supplying the body with prebiotics. Additionally, be sure to stock up on fiber-rich carbs such as bran, oats, cruciferous vegetables such as broccoli and cauliflower, berries, and all kinds of leafy greens. Probiotic foods are less common than the prebiotic ones, but there are several options available to us that also happen to be really inexpensive. These foods contain live bacteria, or probiotics, that upon reaching the intestine will replenish your microbiome and restore your intestinal health. As a rule, look for bitter and sour foods when it comes to feeding your guts good guys. I'll now read a list of prebiotic and fibrous foods and the options or ingredients for each. Prebiotic and fibrous foods. Vegetables. Options or ingredients. Broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, root vegetables, artichokes, chicory, garlic, onions, leeks, asparagus, beetroot, fennel bulb, green beans, peas. Legumes. Options. Chickpeas, lentils, red kidney beans, black beans, soybeans. Fruits. Options. Bananas, berries, apples, nectarines, white peaches, persimmon, grapefruit, pomegranate, dried fruit, e.g., dates, figs. Bread, cereals, snacks. Options. Barley, rye, whole wheat, couscous, wheat bran, oats. Nuts and seeds. Options. Cashews, almonds, pistachios, chia seeds, flax seeds, psyllium seed husk. Fermented organic milk. Options. Yogurt, kefir, and buttermilk. Pickled vegetables. There are many options, including sauerkraut, cabbage, turnips, eggplant, cucumbers, beets, onions, and carrots. Remember that the probiotic benefits are only present in unpasteurized foods pickled in brine, not vinegar. Kimchi. A traditional Korean dish made of fermented cabbage, radishes, scallions, cucumbers, and several spices. Natto. A traditional Japanese dish made of fermented soy. Kombucha. A fermented drink made of sweetened black or green tea, along with friendly bacteria and yeast. If none of these foods appeals to you, or if you consume them only on occasion, you need to take a probiotic supplement. Supplements come in capsule and liquid formulas, and vegan versions are also available. But there's some misinformation out there that you need to be aware of. Many retailers would have you believe that the quality of a probiotic is based on just how many billions of bacteria are present. But in reality, it isn't the quantity as much as the diversity of bacteria that really makes the difference. Because different bacterial strains have slightly different functions and tend to colonize in different parts of the gastrointestinal system. Probiotics that contain multiple strains are usually more effective. Check the labels and make sure your supplement contains at least 3 of these major bacteria types: Lactobacillus acidophilus, Lactobacillus helveticus, Lactobacillus rhamnosus, Bifidobacterium longum, Bifidobacterium bifidum, and Streptococcus thermophilus. Fortunately, once you change your diet, it only takes a short time for the microbiome to change as well. However, these positive changes can disappear just as quickly if a good diet is abandoned for a poor one. So make sure these foods and supplements become a regular part of your diet. Transform your foods into nutritional powerhouses. Following a diet that calls for whole or minimally processed foods is essential if we want to be able to access the nutritional content of those foods. It's just that simple. As you might recall, our world's centenarians never eat processed or packaged foods. All their food is fresh, which is a bit of an understatement, since it's often just picked from the garden or grove. This level of freshness ensures that their foods are as nutritionally dense as possible. Food processing, on the other hand, is a major problem for our society. The milling of wheat, polishing of rice, filtering of cornmeal, and refining of cane sugar are all examples of methods that strip our food of most of its vitamin, mineral, and fiber content, since they're all contained in the outer layers and husks that are being discarded. B vitamins are especially affected by this process, with losses that can be as high as 50%. Freezing and canning are other processing methods that result in the loss of nutrients. Modern farming is another big issue when it comes to the authenticity of our foods. The nutritional content of the soil in which vegetables and fruits are grown determines the food's final nutrient content. New kinds of crops have been scientifically developed to keep up with the demand for greater and greater yields, as well as to increase the food's resistance to pests and climate change. While these new varieties have produced bigger, faster-growing plants, their ability to take up a comparable quantity of nutrients has been lost in the process. A landmark study on this topic looked at USDA nutritional data for over 40 different vegetables and fruits from 1950 to 1999 and discovered significant declines in the amounts of vitamins, especially B's and C, and minerals such as iron. These findings raised a huge debate that provoked subsequent contrasting reports. While some studies showed that the modern carrot does not contain even half the nutrients that would have been present in the carrots that our grandparents ate, others indicated that the vitamin content of these vegetables is broadly the same. So what's the truth of the matter? In my opinion, even if the latter studies detect similar vitamin levels, what they neglect to mention is that it is the quality of the reported vitamin content that really needs to be examined. Containing similar levels of one vitamin does not mean that the quality of the vitamin is the same, nor does it verify that the food's accompanying arsenal of phytonutrients is still intact and sound. Add to that the unrestricted use of pesticides and fertilizers on these crops, and the result is the latest generation of a fast and furiously grown pest-resistant pseudo-produce, full of preservatives and unnaturally perfect in appearance. This produce might beguile us, but unfortunately it does not deliver. Regardless of controversies, when their blood is tested, too many Americans turn up with nutritional deficiencies. After reviewing many of these tests, I know this to be a fact. There are no two ways about it. Those of us who are dedicated to taking care of ourselves and our families and want to get the most nutritious produce possible for our tables would do well to buy regularly from local organic farmers or health food stores. The way you eat your foods also makes a difference. For the most part, vegetables, fruits, nuts, and seeds are at their most potent when eaten raw. In general, it is in this state that their enzymes, vitamins, minerals, and phytochemicals are still intact, making your produce as powerful as possible. Buy the freshest produce you can find, all the better if it's local and in season, and then eat it promptly. People worry a lot about the nutrient loss via the cooking process, but a vegetable can lose just as much nutrition languishing in the crisper as it does on the stovetop. That said, there are vegetables that actually prefer the stovetop. Sometimes cooking increases the nutritional content of a food, especially of some vegetables. By breaking down the plant's cell walls and releasing the nutrients that would otherwise remain locked inside. Beta-carotene, the antioxidant responsible for the carrot's bright orange color, and lycopene, responsible for the tomato's ruby hue, are among these prisoners. Steaming, using a minimal amount of water, or lightly roasting your carrots and tomatoes will boost their level of antioxidants, thereby providing your hungry neurons with extra protection against aging. Just be sure that you don't overcook the vegetables until they're mushy. Al dente is the name of the game for optimal nutrition. While whole grains and legumes would be impossible to eat without some cooking, here's a great trick that will transform these foods into nutritional powerhouses. Sprout them. The simple process of sprouting releases an army of healthy enzymes in seeds, legumes, and grains. This makes them easier to digest, allowing us to absorb their proteins, vitamins, and minerals more efficiently, while at the same time drastically reducing their cooking time. It's a win-win. If you're new to sprouting, this is how you do it. Let's start with grains. They must be whole, with the hull still on. Wheat berries, amaranth, barley, buckwheat, kamut, millet, rice, rye berry, sorghum, and spelt all sprout beautifully. Spelt grains are a household favorite of ours. These grains contain the bran, germ, and endosperm of the spelt kernel, which translates into maximum nutritional payload. In order to sprout them, the first step is to soak them in water. This increases their moisture content while neutralizing their phytic acid, a substance that can cause bloating. You then drain the grains and keep them moist inside a mason jar for a period of 1 to 5 days. Cover the jar with a piece of mesh or cheesecloth so that you can drain them easily, also allowing air to circulate to prevent molding. Soon you will see them sprout before your very eyes. Sprouted grains can be eaten raw or lightly cooked and are even found in some healthy breads. The same process can be used to sprout legumes like lentils and mung beans and all sorts of seeds, from sunflower to quinoa. Let's move on to animal products. With the exception of extremely high-quality products, such as sushi-quality fish, animal products must be cooked to kill bacteria and other pathogens. To bring out their full nutrient potential, fish and eggs are best consumed steamed or poached, with a dash of seasoning and fresh herbs. Meat is another food that cooking renders more easily digestible and bioavailable. For meat, roasting, grilling, or sautéing in a wok are ideal, while broiling and frying will increase their inflammatory and age-producing effects instead. Regardless of which preparation method you choose, be stringent about selecting only healthy oils to use in your daily regimen. Most vegetable oils are available in both refined and unrefined, e.g. virgin, varieties. Much like grains and sugar, refined oils are made using highly intensive mechanical and chemical processes to extract the oil from seeds and nuts. This process removes nutrients, especially minerals, and creates a final product that is prone to oxidation. Oxidation makes refined oils more likely to produce free radicals in your body, which in turn work to age you. If this weren't bad enough, many refined vegetable oils are also hydrogenated. As we have discussed, the hydrogenation process transforms these oils into trans fats, making them thicker at room temperature so they can be sold as margarines and shortenings. These oils might indeed be cheaper, but will have a very negative impact on your health. On the other hand, unrefined oils maintain the same qualities they possessed when still inside the plant. They have a full, rich flavor and are high in nutrients. Extra virgin olive oil, for example, contains antioxidant polyphenols, along with the healthy fats that would have otherwise been removed via the refining process. Whether you prefer olive or coconut oil, always choose the unrefined versions. Also keep in mind that oils rich in precious unsaturated fat, such as olive oil and flaxseed oil, are best consumed a crudo, raw, unheated, thereby retaining maximum nutrient content. However, if you use these oils for cooking, make sure you don't overheat or burn them. You don't want your oil to be sizzling and turning brown. For example, olive oil burns at 400 degrees Fahrenheit or 200 degrees centigrade. For cooking, choose oils and fats with a high smoke point. The smoke point indicates the temperature limit up to which that cooking oil can be used, so the higher the better. The best unrefined oil for cooking is avocado oil, which has the highest smoke point of all, 520 degrees Fahrenheit or 270 degrees centigrade. Canola oil, rapeseed, and coconut oil come next. If you prefer animal fat for cooking, ghee, Indian clarified butter, is the best one, 485 degrees Fahrenheit or 251 degrees centigrade. Eat foods, not nutrients. Recent research, including my own work, supports the notion that nutritional supplementation is not equivalent to gleaning our nutrients from the whole foods we eat. In other words, supplements should be used to supplement. This brings us back to the touchy subject of obtaining precious brain nutrients from our foods versus our supplements. Too many people do not obtain sufficient vitamins and minerals from food alone. However, rather than improving their diets to reach their full nutritional requirements, they prefer to resort to supplements as a shortcut. As we have seen in the previous chapters, there is increasing scientific evidence that supplements alone won't work. How our bodies respond to diet is a complex and highly coordinated system, and apparently, what they can wrangle from a pill does not equal the benefits derived from real food. Think of nutrients as belonging to a team. A single player skill, no matter their expertise, means nothing unless there is an equally adept communication and coordination with the other teammates. The same principle applies to food. Nutrients from food are superior to supplements because they act in synergy with one another and within our bodies in a way that supplements apparently can't. This downfall makes supplements the second choice when it comes to achieving our nutritional aims. I'm not a big proponent of taking many supplements, as I believe the majority of our nutrients can and should come from the natural foods we eat. However, if you haven't been eating enough nutrient-dense foods, supplements can help correct and avoid possible deficiencies. It is important that you discuss whether you need to take supplements with your doctor. The following supplements can be useful if your diet is low in some or all of the brain essential nutrients we discussed throughout the book. Omega-3 DHA. Supplementing with 300 to 500 milligrams per day of omega-3 DHA is a good idea, especially for people age 60 or older. If you don't eat fish, it is crucial to supplement your diet with at least 500 to 1,000 milligrams of DHA per day. Caution: omega-3s can have a blood-thinning effect and might increase the action of blood-thinning medications such as warfarin and aspirin. Too much omega-3 can also result in bleeding and bruising. Always consult a healthcare professional before adding omega-3 supplements to your diet. Choline. Most people in the United States don't consume enough choline-rich foods, especially fish. On those days you don't eat fish, eggs, or other choline natural sources, consider supplementing with 300 to 600 milligrams per day of alpha-GPC, the most bioavailable form of choline, or 420 milligrams per day of phosphatidylcholine, a good source of both choline and omega-3s, as a memory booster. B vitamins. It is important to supplement your diet with a B complex that contains a full spectrum of B vitamins. B vitamins are well-known nerve tonics that help reduce stress and fatigue, and play a crucial role in the production of neurotransmitters. Additionally, if you are 50 or older, and/or suffer from gastritis, reduced stomach acid, Crohn's or celiac disease, or take medicines like metformin for diabetes, and acid blockers, talk to your doctor about having your vitamin B status checked. Especially as we get older, our metabolism naturally slows down, and absorption of some vitamins, like vitamin B12, might decrease as a result. Make sure it includes at least 50 micrograms of vitamin B12, cobalamin, or methylcobalamin, as directed by your doctor. Minerals. Everybody needs to pay attention to their minerals, especially copper, iron, and zinc. Too few slow the brain down. Too many might rust your brain cells. Most people in the United States consume plenty of these minerals from everyday foods as well as other sources. If you are taking a multivitamin, check the label for its content of copper, iron, and zinc. If possible, choose a multivitamin without these minerals. Otherwise, check the label and make sure your supplements contain no more than 50% of the daily recommended dose, percent DV, of these nutrients. Since dosages depend on your age and gender, refer to current Institute of Medicine's guidelines for specific values. https://www.nationalacademies.org/hmd/activities/nutrition/summary-dri/dri-tables.aspx and discuss this with your doctor. Probiotics. Be sure to eat probiotic foods, e.g. yogurt, sauerkraut, every day. If you prefer to take supplements, or on days you don't have access to these foods, remember to select a high-quality probiotic supplement that includes a minimum of 3 bacteria types as described earlier. Personally, when I don't have access to probiotic foods, I take my probiotic supplements in a refrigerated liquid form, as they are gentler on the GI tract. Antioxidants. If your typical diet hasn't been focused on fresh vegetables, fruits, nuts, and seeds, your brain might be running low on antioxidants. In order to replenish your antioxidant reserve, consider supplementing with 100 to 200 milligrams per day of coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, or ubiquinone. Caution: CoQ10 might interfere with blood-thinning medications like warfarin and aspirin. Speak with your physician. This is particularly important if you are 60 or older. CoQ10 is a powerful antioxidant involved in key metabolic reactions and energy production within brain cells. Herbs. If you lead a fairly sedentary lifestyle, ginkgo biloba, one of the world's most renowned brain tonics, could help boost mental clarity and sharpness by improving oxygen delivery to the brain. The recommended dose is 240 milligrams per day of ginkgo extract. Panax ginseng could also be helpful for memory support, especially if you tend to have high blood sugar levels and/or high cholesterol. This herb has celebrated anti-aging properties and has been shown to lower both sugar and cholesterol levels. The recommended dose is 4 grams per day of red Panax ginseng powder. You can also find it in liquid form mixed with honey and royal jelly. Watch your cookware. As previously discussed, some minerals like copper and aluminum can enter the body via unexpected sources, such as water pipes, but also your pots and pans. Personally, I don't use aluminum cookware at all. I also don't recommend use of any cooking plastics, for example, microwavable plastic containers, or synthetic nonstick surfaces like Teflon, which contain PTFE, polytetrafluoroethylene, a toxic compound. Instead, my kitchen is well equipped with stainless steel, glass, cast iron, and traditional ceramic. Needless to say, disposable plates and paper cups should be altogether eliminated or at least used as a last resort. 13. A typical brain healthy week. Dietary guidelines for optimal cognitive fitness. Ready to put all this information into practice? The brain diet pyramid is a snapshot of the types and proportion of foods we should eat on a regular basis for optimal brain health. Along with the core brain food groups, it contains healthy beverages, fats, and natural sweeteners, arranged according to how much they contribute to a neuronutritionally balanced diet. On a weekly basis, make sure you eat plenty of those foods indicated at the base of the pyramid. The numbers along the margins will remind you of how many times a week you can have these foods. To start, drink at least 8 8-ounce glasses of filtered or genuine spring water and or herbal tea every day. At the same time, make sure you eat leafy greens or cruciferous vegetables every day. When it comes to these vegetables, the more the better, but certainly no less than 1 cup a day. Add an additional vegetable serving a day, such as carrots or onions, and remember to include high-fat fruits, like avocado and olives, on a regular basis. Typical serving sizes are 1/4 of an avocado and 4 to 5 olives. Enjoy a piece of low GI fruit, like berries, cherries, oranges, grapefruit, apples, and pears every day. If you prefer medium GI fruits, like plums and peaches, that's fine, but keep an eye on portion size. 1 cup of low GI fruits versus 1/2 cup of medium GI fruits. Refer to Chapter 6 for a complete list. Aim to eat up to 2 servings of whole grains and legumes at least once a day. And don't forget your sweet potatoes. To get a visual of serving size, that's 1 cup of cooked grains or legumes, or 1 slice of whole grain bread, or 1/2 of a small sweet potato, the size of your fist. See how easy it is to eat 2 servings of either? Organic plain yogurt and fermented vegetables like sauerkraut or brined pickles should also be consumed on a daily basis, about 1/2 cup of either, or more. Wild-caught, or at least antibiotic-free fish, is a brain must. Shoot for 1 serving, 2 to 3 ounces, 3 times a week, and focus on fatty fish like salmon, mackerel, trout, herring, bluefin tuna, sardines, anchovies, and striped bass. Fish eggs, 1 tablespoon, and shellfish, 3 ounces, excluding the shell, are also great options. Raw, unsalted, and unsweetened nuts and seeds are crucial when it comes to feeding your brain with healthy fats and hard-to-find vitamins and minerals. Make sure to eat 3 or more servings a week, focusing on almonds, walnuts, chia seeds, flax seeds, and sunflower seeds. Serving size? 2 tablespoons. Now for animal products. Eggs are great in moderation, 1 to 2 eggs per week, followed by organic pasture-raised chicken, 3 ounces per week, and organic cheese, preferably dry cheese like pecorino or fresh goat cheese like feta, 1 to 2 ounces per week. Red meat, beef, pork, is not on our menu and should be consumed no more than once a month or on special occasions. Herbs and spices should be used in preference to salt and in combination with healthy, organic, unrefined oils. Extra virgin olive oil is a must. Flax, hemp, avocado, and coconut oils are also great choices. The recommended dose is 1 tablespoon twice a day. Feel free to use them along with healthy condiments such as apple cider, rice, or balsamic vinegar. Tamari, a naturally gluten-free version of soy sauce, coconut aminos, brewers or nutritional yeast, and miso paste to further enhance your foods. Be generous with these condiments. They are good for you. If you want to have an alcoholic drink, consumption should focus on red wine, preferably organic. If you're a woman, 1 5-ounce glass of red wine a day is the way to go. If you're a man, you can have up to 2 glasses a day. Coffee can be supportive of brain health for some people. My personal preference is 1 cup of espresso a day to provide your brain with the optimal balance of caffeine to antioxidants. But regular organic coffee works too. If you take your coffee black or with a dash of organic milk, that's excellent. If you need a little sugar, I'd recommend no more than 1 teaspoon of coconut sugar or other organic sweetener like stevia per cup of coffee. Although there is no clear association between drinking tea and a reduced risk of dementia, green tea has almost as many antioxidants as coffee without the jitters. So feel free to have up to 2 cups a day. Finally, I strongly recommend a small piece of dark chocolate just about every day, approximately 1 ounce. Dark chocolate is rich in antioxidant flavonoids, magnesium, potassium, and theobromine, the substance that supports blood circulation and makes you happy. Remember to focus on high-quality dark chocolate with at least 65% cocoa and little or no added sugar. At the same time that you're increasing consumption of brain-healthy foods, make an effort to limit, or better, completely eliminate consumption of foods that are not so healthy, or even downright harmful to your body and brain. These include all fast foods, white sugar, artificial sweeteners, and table salt, meats, red meat, beef, pork, bacon, deli meats, cold cuts, cured meat, bologna, salami, pastrami, and any other processed meat. Processed cheese, dairy products, such as canned cheese, American cheese, blue cheese, unless organic, sweetened yogurt, commercial ice cream and custards, string cheese, spreads, margarine, sweetened or flavored milk beverages, and any other processed cheese or dairy products. Refined grains, such as white rice, white bread, cornflakes, breakfast cereal, commercial donuts, cookies, crackers, muffins, pies, cakes, and any other processed grain products. Processed nuts, including salted, honey-roasted, or sweetened. Condiments, such as ketchup, mayonnaise, Worcestershire sauce, barbecue sauce, salad dressings, commercial spreads, soy sauce, and all refined oils, especially safflower oil, sesame oil, sunflower oil. Soda, energy drinks, fruit juice, unless fresh-pressed, in which case, limit to 1 glass a day. Spirits like beer and distilled liquors. Limit consumption to 1 can of beer, 12 fluid ounces, or 1 finger of liquor. Hold your finger next to the glass and pour yourself only a finger's width, no more than 1 to 2 times a month. For example, breakfast on Monday could be a hearty bowl of oatmeal, topped with a handful of chopped walnuts, fresh blueberries, and maple syrup. Lunch introduces my longtime favorite, Ayurvedic mung bean soup. A cup of yogurt and a handful of almonds make for a great afternoon snack. To round it all off perfectly, a nice piece of steamed Alaskan salmon served with homemade broccoli puree is an excellent way to end your first brain healthy day. On day two, you'll start your day with organic goat milk yogurt, topped with fresh blackberries and a little honey if you like, and move on to a flavorful brown rice mushroom risotto that combines the distinctive aroma of wild mushrooms with the cheesy flavor of nutritional yeast for an extra vitamin kick. A little salmon roe over rice crackers makes for a yummy omega-3 loaded snack, while my grilled sweet potatoes with fresh spinach salad will satisfy any sugar craving and also keep you full all night. And so forth. Does this sound like dieting? I didn't think so. That said, feel free to mix and match if you like. Swap some of the suggested meals with any of those included in Chapter 16 or on my website, www.lisamosconi.com, should they seem more appetizing or interesting to you. Just be sure to exchange each food type for the same food type, like fish for fish or eggs for eggs, so as to preserve the nutrient balance over the course of the week. Though you are welcome and encouraged to swap meat and poultry for fish anytime you wish. More specific recommendations are provided in Step 3, Toward the Optimal Brain Diet. Don't skip breakfast. Don't skip meals. Skip snacking instead. Now for a few practical things to consider as you plan your weekly menu. Let's start with breakfast. For the centenarians, it's a no-brainer. Breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Instead, in our society, there is some confusion over whether breakfast is an important meal at all. Far from having what might be the centenarian's luxury of enjoying a good breakfast, most of us find the act of getting ready for the world each morning a blurry-eyed, caffeine-fueled affair. On top of that, many people rush out the door before having had the chance to put something in their bellies first. I've encountered some interesting breakfast trends in the United States. Quite a few people skip breakfast altogether in favor of a cup of coffee. Often, this is actually a coffee drink, and comes with copious amounts of added sweeteners, artificial flavorings, and cream substitutes. On the other hand, just as many people like to wolf down large portions of refined white bread, cereal, or pastries, paired with commercial orange juice that is akin to liquid sugar. Needless to say, I don't recommend that either. A good breakfast is exactly what your brain needs after a long night without food to literally break its fast. By a good breakfast, I don't mean a gigantic heavy meal. What our brains need first thing in the morning is light, sustained energy. This can be achieved by way of glucose-rich foods that include a good balance of fiber, vitamins, and minerals, along with adequate protein and fat, and of course filtered water or tea to rehydrate. If your favorite breakfast is cereal and orange juice, that's okay. These foods have been breakfast staples for generations in the United States, so it's only natural that you might enjoy them in the morning. However, let's be sure the focus is on quality. Juice is better made with 1 to 2 freshly squeezed oranges, which isn't too time-consuming once you get the hang of it. Cereal should be made of whole grains without added sugar. Read the labels. If a serving of cereal contains more than 5 grams of sugar, that's not good for you. Opt for unsweetened cereal instead, and add your own honey, maple syrup, or coconut sugar if need be. Some people prefer something sweet to start the day, while others prefer savory foods. You'll find several brain-healthy options in the next chapter. Feel free to choose whichever works best for you, and at the same time, try some new things, too. You never know. You might find that some unexpected alternatives make you feel sharper and more focused than old habits. It turns out many people skip other meals in addition to breakfast, especially lunch, which makes one wonder how they're managing to function at all. Part of the problem might be that their meals are not as appetizing or energizing as they could be. According to recent surveys, during workdays, Americans will commonly eat a sandwich consisting of any number of fillings between two slices of bread. The bread is typically white, and most fillings are deli meat, such as ham and roast beef, cheese, tuna salad, doused in commercial mayonnaise, or the classic peanut butter and jelly. Potato chips and soda are also commonly found in lunch boxes. Other common options include cafeteria food or fast food. Except for the lonely slice of tomato folded into the sandwich, are you seeing any brain foods in there? If you are into sandwiches, keep in mind that there's a big difference between processed ham, Swiss, and mayo on white bread, and grilled eggplant with spinach and hummus on whole wheat. As you will have guessed, I recommend the latter. American dinners are generally more nutritious, though most often feature meat as the main dish, with smaller side dishes of rice, potatoes, or pasta, and maybe a vegetable or salad. Chinese takeout, pizza, and frozen microwavable entrees turn out to be very popular choices. Many people also drink juice, soda, or beer, and sometimes wine with their evening meal, although wine is still less common in the States than in Mediterranean countries. The low nutritional quality of these meals might very well be what leads Americans to snack throughout the day. By and large, snacks consist of processed items such as candy, cookies, chocolate, crackers, potato chips, and pretzels. And let's not forget the sugary cocktails served at happy hour. Overall, the typical Western diet is the opposite of brain healthy. Time to roll up our sleeves and address this issue once and for all. Takeout. Just say no. America is rapidly becoming a delivery nation. The long list of quick service giants that offer delivery, from Starbucks to Dunkin' Donuts, not to mention the growing list of delivery-only restaurants, underscores an increasingly apparent truth about what Americans look for in their food. Convenience. Families are working more than ever, which leaves very little time to spend in the kitchen. If this is you, beware. As fast and easy a solution as takeout seems, make it a habit, and you will just as quickly pack on the pounds and actually harm your brain. By and large, takeout food is bad news for your brain and your body too, to be fair. Except for those restaurants that pride themselves on using solely high-quality organic ingredients, most takeout options include rock-bottom produce and commercially fed and industrially bred meat and fish. All of this adds up to your ingesting more hormones, antibiotics, and pesticides than genuine food and its nutrients. If that weren't bad enough, these foods are also typically cooked with refined oils and sugars, trans fats, and more salt and sodium than you can imagine. Even salad bars can be full of empty calories, artificial dressings, and stale, preservative-laden products. That's not counting the additional commercial drinks and processed breads, fries, and condiments, or the fortune cookies and GMO soy sauces thrown in for free. It is nothing less than crucial to the health of your brain that you don't make takeout a regular everyday habit. I guess it goes without saying, then, that I hardly ever order in. When I do, I choose healthy restaurants that serve high-quality food, and I am willing to pay extra for this once-in-a-blue-moon treat. To this day, on the rare occasion my family and I get takeout, it's sushi from a nearby Yelp-rated 5-star restaurant. That said, many people don't have access to healthy, prepared food options. I experienced this food desolation when I first moved out of Manhattan to relocate to Brooklyn. My new neighborhood was only a few subway stops away from the city, and although it felt similar in many ways, the option of dashing into a supermarket that contained a healthy, prepared food selection on my way home had vanished. With no higher quality supermarkets in sight, I tried countless online prepared food services, but couldn't find one that was worth the money. If it's hard for me to find good options here in the New York area, I can't even imagine how difficult it must be in other parts of the country. In the end, preparing our own meals is the best, if not the only way to go. By cooking at home, you can ensure that you and your family eat fresh, safe, wholesome meals. You'll look and feel healthier, have more energy, and be able to maximize your brain power and longevity. Contrary to popular belief, creating healthy meals doesn't have to involve a huge investment of time and effort. Here are a few practical tips. 1. Plan your meals ahead. Gather your recipes and make a list of all the ingredients you need for that week. 2. In the summer, favor salads and other raw foods that require minimal preparation. Avocado toast, hummus with crudités, a tomato salad with fresh basil, a cold beet soup, or smoked salmon and caviar tartines are all great options. Throwing some fresh vegetables and fish on the grill goes quickly once you're in the habit. Did you know that summer fruit grills and caramelizes beautifully? Peaches, pineapple, plums, even watermelon. They all know how to take the heat. 3. When you cook, make meals in bulk and freeze leftovers into single portions to defrost and heat up on those days you don't have the time or energy to cook. 4. Loading a slow cooker with vegetables, grains, legumes, fish, or chicken in the morning allows you to come home to a piping hot meal at night, with minimal preparation or cleanup. 5. Cook once, eat for a week. By cooking enough veggies, grains, and protein once a week, you can use these foods to create quick and easy meals throughout the week. Personally, I consider Sunday morning to be my kitchen retreat time. I have perfected my technique to the point that within a couple of hours, I manage to make a pot of brown rice, steam a large piece of fish, roast several pounds of vegetables, and make a soup. How? Here goes. I soak the rice, or any other grain, the night before, which not only brings out the nutrients, but also makes the grains tender, cutting cooking time in half. While the rice is boiling, I turn on the oven and start chopping up the veggies. Brussels sprouts are a big favorite of my family's. All you need to do is wash and cut them, toss with avocado oil, and roast in the oven for 20 minutes at 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Sometimes I add sweet potatoes to the mix, using coconut oil to bring out their flavor. While the rice is boiling and the veggies are roasting, I make soup. Most likely I'll make a root vegetable soup with carrots, parsnips, rutabaga, and butternut squash. In just 5 quick steps. 1. Wash, peel, and cut the veggies, or buy them already cut, which in this case might be worth it, as it saves a lot of time, along with an onion and 2 to 3 cloves of garlic. 2. Sauté in 2 tablespoons of coconut oil. 3. Cover with vegetable broth. 4. Cook over medium heat for about 20 minutes. And 5. Puree with an immersion blender. It takes no time to make this delicious soup, which I serve with a drizzle of avocado oil and roasted pumpkin seeds, or with a dollop of coconut cream and cilantro. See my blog for the full recipe. By then, the rice is ready, the veggies are roasted, and the soup is simmering in its pot. Steaming a few salmon fillets takes no longer than 5 to 10 minutes. Whisking together a tasty tamari scallion sauce for the fish takes just a minute more, and we're ready to roll. By the time my husband and 2-year-old daughter are back from their morning stroll, I have enough food for up to 5 meals. And not just any food, but high-quality, fresh, vibrant, nutrient-rich food, completely devoid of additives, artificial sweeteners, unhealthy fats, and sodium. In the next chapters, you'll find many more examples of what a typical, brain-healthy week could and should look like from a nutritional perspective. The good news is all the recipes provided in this book are super quick and easy to follow. In fact, one of the keys to eating right for your brain is to make sure your foods are kept as close to their natural state as possible, which comes down to less preparation time, optimized nutritional quality, and more flavor. Give your tummy a break. New research indicates that reducing the overall caloric content of the diet boosts cognitive capacity, reduces cellular aging, and promotes longevity. Additionally, as most Americans tend to eat too much to start with, paying more attention to portion size and mindless snacking can only help. One of the best ways to eat less and maintain nutritional quality is, of course, to increase your consumption of low GI fruit, vitamin-rich vegetables, and lean protein, while reducing that of sugary and fattening foods. As we discussed in Chapter 9, intermittent fasting can provide many important health benefits, from rebooting your metabolism to helping your body burn fat more effectively. Don't let the word fasting intimidate you. It's much easier than it sounds. Of the many intermittent fasting schedules available, overnight fasting is my personal favorite. You simply give yourself a 10 to 12 hour break between dinner and breakfast, during which you are not eating or snacking. By rights, you should be sleeping, or at least resting. This simple practice has been shown to reduce adipose body fat, improve insulin sensitivity, and protect against obesity and diabetes, which are known risk factors for cognitive aging and dementia. That said, this practice might not work for everyone. Take the test in Chapter 14 to find out whether or not you're ready for this practice. I generally recommend specific forms of intermittent fasting to those who score at the intermediate or advanced levels, but not necessarily at the beginner level, though they are, of course, welcome to give it a try. In any case, be sure to talk it over with your doctor. And when you're done eating, walk away from that couch. Regular physical activity is essential to keep your brain healthy. Additionally, some studies have shown that people who engage in regular physical activity have a healthier microbiome, reduced inflammation, and higher levels of brain-protecting hormones than sedentary people. Research to date shows that we have two main options when it comes to boosting the neuroprotective effects of exercise. The first option is to engage in vigorous activities for at least 1 hour a week. Exercise is considered vigorous when your heart beats fast enough that talking normally becomes difficult. If you were asked to sing at the same time, you would probably blow the audition. These activities include things like jogging, playing tennis, handball, swimming, hiking, aerobic dancing, or even lifting weights, as long as it's mixed with more movement. Anything that makes you sweat and run out of breath will do. Not your thing? No problem. Moderate intensity activities will work as well, as long as you exercise a bit longer and more often. Moderate intensity means that your heart will beat faster than normal. At this raised rate, you can carry on a conversation, albeit sounding a little breathy, but you probably can't belt out a tune. Some great options include power walking, bicycling, gentle swimming, or even doing household chores and gardening, as long as they make your heart beat faster. Shoot for 30 to 45 minutes 5 times a week.